Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Share My World. I am your host, Lakeisha Riddick, and I'm so grateful and thankful that you've taken out your time and your busy schedules to come and listen to my show. Share My World show family, thanks for tuning in, and I appreciate your continued support. And my new listeners, thank you for your support. Hopefully, you'll receive something today and be drawn back to come back and listen to future episodes or even check out some of the archived episodes at blogtalkradio.com. I'm grateful that you are hanging in with me. It's been a minute since my last show. I had this persistent cough, and I felt really bad about the last show that I did where I was coughing a lot. Even though I felt compelled to do the show to kind of keep the momentum going, I didn't want to, just interfere with the quality of the show because it is a radio show, right? So forgive me for that show. Hopefully you still received something from the show. And I had to press to, get myself healed. And it's interesting in terms of the show topic tonight, how that worked out. And so I'm glad to be here, back in the saddle, as you could say. Let me do a little housekeeping again first to my new listeners. Why do I do the show? Why do I come on the internet to brave my soul to the entire world? Well, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and the word of our testimony. I'm not perfect, and I believe that in the perfection process that God is putting me through, or that I'm walking through in this journey called life, that my issues, my ups, my downs, my triumphs, my, falls, that I should share them so that hopefully other people will be able to listen and learn, right, from my mistakes and my wins, but also that helps me to affirm what God has done in my life, because it's not just me. Another reason is that this is a form of therapy. They say confession is good for the soul. Me being transparent and sharing my life issues and things that I've gone through or things that I'm overcoming, you notice the ING again, that it encourages me, and my desire is that it would encourage you. Another reason I do the show, permanent reminder of God's faithfulness towards me, even when I see, like, wow, I just talked about this topic, 2 years ago or something like that. But it's still a permanent reminder. Some people have diaries. Some people blog online or use their Facebook as their kind of diary / blog. But this is another form for me to just have that reminder and a little bit of accountability as well, because I can go back and listen to the shows and say, this is you, Lakeisha. You were saying what God has done for you or how you overcame this, so it can happen again. And finally, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we are compelled to fulfill the Great Commission, which is to go out and to share the good news, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, to win souls and make disciples. And you do that through your life. It's not a process of you just, you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's you become the Jesus that people see on earth, because Jesus isn't walking on earth anymore. So that's why I do the show. Okay, let's pray before we get into tonight's topic. Lord, thank you for your healing. We thank you, Lord, for you helping me to persist and to share the word of revelation that you've given me to help me overcome and to continue to help me overcoming the issues that I have in my life. I thank you, Lord, for allowing my blessings, my revelations, my triumphs, my falls to be encouragement to others so that they can be able to overcome their issues, their obstacles, and then they can go and share with other people so that it goes on and the blessings overflow. So we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you that you minister to me and through me so that people hear you and receive a word that will change their life. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight's topic is stop living with the pain management versus God's healing. And the description that I gave of the show was that pain is an indication that trauma has occurred, and oftentimes we ignore or numb the pain without resolving the root source or cause of that pain. But what happens when the pain becomes too great to manage? What happens when the pain causes more damage than you can imagine? And, you know, we have to realize that pain is our body's natural response to trauma. You know, if your neurological system is, you know, functional and operating normally, it's telling you that something's wrong. Just like if you have a fever, a fever is telling your body, or telling you that something in your body is not right, so your body's trying to reject it. So the temperature goes so high to try to fight it off, right? So pain is another indicator something's not right. And you're supposed to not ignore that sign. You're supposed to dig deep and figure out what's going on, right? It could be emotional trauma. You know, I think sometimes we dismiss that a lot. You know, we think that, oh, what if they stick their bones and they break my bones, the words never harm me? That's not true. They can do a lot of damage. Damage that, yeah, you may not see with black and blue bruises, but the damage is still done. Or, like I said, physical trauma, you know, that's obvious. So what does the pain management look like? When I was thinking about the show, I said there's a lot of ways that we manage our pain. I mean, think about it. I mean, for me, I just told you I dealt with this cough, right? And I don't really like going to the doctor, especially for a cough, because I'm thinking, you know, you go to the doctor and then they're going to give you this, you know, prescription cough medicine, and you're like, I could have just taken, you know, over-the-counter cough medicine and let it, you know, run its course. So, but the danger with that is, you know, I've had bronchitis in the past. I remember in college I had bronchitis. And the cough was so hard and harsh, you felt like you were coughing up a lung. And if that goes untreated, what happens with that? You have, you know, a more, you know, devastating respiratory issues. So thank you, God, that, you know, I didn't. And, yeah, I listened to my husband a little bit there and my mom because, you know, they always have those home remedies and stuff. And thank you, Jesus, that, you know, I'm healed from that. And, I mean, another way you can look at pain management, when we're offended, a lot of times we kind of brush it off. Sometimes we brush it off in terms of maturity, right? We say, oh, I wasn't really affected by that. And but deep down, it really did hurt. A lot of times we say we aren't affected. Well, you know what? You're not affected when it's done by people that you don't really care about. You know, we always say that. I don't care what people think. Well, I think the caveat is you do care what people think that you care about, that you love, that are in your circle, that you respect, and you feel respect you. So when you ignore it, even if there is some truth to it, it still leaves pain. It leaves a wound. And if you don't deal with it, it delves deeper, and then you have, you know, a pain management issue. Okay, another way is, you know, if a person has had some sexual trauma or were molested, you know, when they were younger. And, you know, I've shared that part of my story as well. And you literally bury that memory. I mean, you bury that memory so deep that you almost forget it until something happens to trigger that memory. And then it comes back like, you know, like a movie with all the emotions and everything else that comes with it. So, you know, that's how burying a memory can be a form of pain management. And that also could be a way that I think our bodies do that as well with memory, you know, where we bury those painful things so we don't experience it again. So what's my story? What's my pain issues? And how did I come to this realization that I was living with pain? Well, I'm going to share some it was very, very transparent moment and very deep moment for me to share. When I dream very vividly and very real, like a movie. You know, I can see myself interacting in the dreams, and most of my dreams, I say, are prophetic. something in there is very meaningful that's supposed to take away and apply to my life or even to others. So this particular dream, I was in the dream, I was making a decision, and I made a decision that my family did not like, okay? And they were wanting me to do something else, but I was headstrong and was going to do what I wanted to do, right? So in the dream, I could see myself, right, like, you know, making this decision, and then all of a sudden I look over and I see my father, and my father crying, and I'm like, wait a minute. Now, this dream was like, you know, recent times. My father's been deceased since 1990. So in the dream, I'm thinking, is this real? So I go up to my father, and he's crying, and he just hugs me. He hugs me really, you know, really tight, and he's like, don't do it. And I'm like, don't do it. He said, stop living with the pain. And he just kept repeating it over and over again. He was crying. And my father, very proud man, you know, I rarely saw him, you know, cry. And I'll get into that later. I mean, you know, at church, you know, when we would go to church and he was, you know, filled with emotion, he would cry. But this wasn't something like on a you know, regular basis. So it moved me in the dream to see this type of, you know, reaction and this response. And then he's telling him to stop living with the pain. But here's the other thing. It wasn't just stop living with the pain. He said, Keisha, stop living with the pain or it will kill you. Now, after the dream, I mean, I felt very emotional because my dad came to me in my dream. I'm thinking, what is he trying to tell me? But I remember writing it down, but I didn't really get the full revelation of it until I was, you know, telling the dream, you know, over to my husband, when it just all just hit. And it was like my dad was warning me. He was trying to warn me that I'm living with some pain, literally, and it will kill me. It could literally kill me or figuratively kill me. And I'll go into how this, you know, revelation came to be or this meaning of it came to be. My dad was living with serious abdominal pain for years, okay? And we had no idea. And, I mean, when I say years, I mean, all we knew was he was taking Phillips milk of magnesia often or citrus magnesium or something like that. But we thought it was just stomach problems, like, oh, you know, that, you know, just dietary issues or whatever, but never knew it was something, you know, deeper. And my father, like I said, very strong man, very proud man, and he always worked, like, two jobs to take care of us. I mean, he did a lot of stuff, so we felt like, you know, he's okay. He's fine. And I'll never forget my freshman year at the Christmas break. You know, I came home and, you know, was so happy and excited to see the family and stuff. And we went to the doctor, and my dad, when we were sitting in the office, he literally got out of his seat and laid down. He laid down on the ground, and he was like, I'm in so much pain, doctor. He said, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. You got to help me. You got to, you know, help me. And I'm looking like, is my dad laying on the floor in the doctor's office? Like, what is going on? And he said, I'm in pain. I can't take it anymore. And after that moment, you know, they had, you know, all kind of tests and everything run and stuff. And then later we found out that he had stage 4 cancer, colon cancer, gastrointestinal cancer. And they did surgeries and stuff to remove, like, part of his intestines and, you know, radiation and all that kind of stuff. But it had metastasized. And, you know, literally from that December up until that April, deteriorate. So, you know, and he finally passed that May of 1990. So when he came to tell me that in a dream, I'm thinking, like, you know, is it a literal, like, you know, he's seeing something, like some disease or something like that? But it wasn't, okay, it's not necessarily a disease, but he was telling me that by me not dealing with the pain that has been buried so deep within that it could figuratively kill my dreams, my goals, and then which in turn would kill me. Because, you know, if you don't deal with your issues, you know, you're not growing. You're dying, right? So I have to say, well, what is this? So I'm even as I'm doing the show, preparing for the show, I'm thinking, well, what is my pain? And I had to really look deep and say, you know, my pain is rejection, the root issue. And, you know, you say rejection, well, you know, well, how were you rejected? Well, I don't think it was this one issue. I think it was a culmination of different things. And then how I responded, I think I was the type of person that responded like, oh, you know, it didn't matter that much, or I'm okay, or, you know, don't worry about it, that kind of thing. But the reality was it did bother me, because the takeaway from the rejection was that I didn't matter. And that, you know, and because this was from people that I felt, you know, I cared about, I respected or whatever. And I don't think it was done intentionally or, you know, that kind of thing. But it doesn't matter, right? Pain is pain. And here's a side note. Please don't discount or dismiss somebody or minimize somebody else's pain just because you don't think it should cause this amount of damage or they should be affected by it. I mean, let's not get into a match, okay? Pain is pain, hurt is hurt. There you go. But it's been hard for me to rebound because I've been doing the pain management, right? So pain management for me has been what? And it's been you looking at the symptoms. That's what I'm saying when you do pain management. You're not going deeper. You're just looking at the surface, right? So for me, it's been start and stopping projects, right? And then when I used to work, I mean, very successful, very driven. But when it comes to stuff for me, I would start and stop, right? So I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking about I'd stick with the familiar, stick with things that I know, or stick with things that I know can get, you know, quick results. Or, you know, because I'm a problem solver by nature, so I go to things that I know, okay, I can finish and do, you know, quickly and then, you know, kind of get that satisfaction, right? Being afraid of change. These are hard things that I'm sharing with you, okay, as I'm realizing it, but this is my to be vulnerable but also transparent, again, in hopes that you would learn from me. If you're experiencing the same thing, you could learn from me, right? Or however the pain management is for you, it's universal. It's still not getting to the root of the issue, right? So being afraid of change, being afraid of failure, because I think that's tied with my start-stop. It's like, okay, and tied to the not to those feelings of not matter, you know, of, how do you say, of not mattering to people, right? I don't even know if that's the right way to say it. Again, hard for me to rebound. And why? Because I believe the lie. Again, when I sat here and I prepared for the show and I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why? What is it so hard for me to rebound? Why has it been hard for me to rebound and to keep moving forward? It's because I believe the lie. When you come into agreement with a lie, you cause it to grow. So it manifests in every other area of your life. Even, you know, okay, I'll even share this. Even with my dad, you know, when my mom found out that it was stage 4 cancer, you know, the doctor, you know, they'll tell you, well, he only has, you know, XYZ, you know, weeks or months to live or whatever. You know, my mom didn't tell my dad that because she knew that by telling him that he would want to give up. I mean, who wants to be told, well, you know, you really only have a few weeks to live? I mean, who wants to do that or whatever? And so she didn't tell him that. But then as the pain increased and even after the surgery and stuff like that, I remember I came home on spring break and I saw him and it was like, wow, I mean, to have seen him for Christmas and then to see how he was, it was just like, man. But you know, my dad, he held on because he wanted to see, because when I went, obviously I went back to school and that's was his dream, you know, for me to go to college and everything. He held on until I came home and finished that, you know, that year out. And, you know, he died like a few days later after I came home. But you see his will to live, to hold on, was still there because he had hope. Because at that point, he didn't agree with it, but he was ready for, you know, obviously to be at peace, but he held on. So that's what I'm trying to say. But once you agree with the lie, there's no hope. And when I look at myself, that's what I did. I agreed with the lie. There was no hope. I felt I didn't matter. And so it would be that trigger, right? So what's my solution? I had to say, well, how do I, you know, if I can't go back and undo these events, I mean, you can't do that, right? So the only way that I know as a believer is I have to find what God says about me and affirm that. Now, even as we tell my daughter and we tell our children that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, here I am, the mother, I wasn't believing it myself, well, fully or affirming it to myself. Now, we also say, I mean, I have a very good support system. My husband, who I love very much, he affirms me, you know, he supports me. I have my biological family, my mom, my siblings. I have very good friends, long-term friends. But at the end of the day, you have to do it yourself. You cannot wait for other people to affirm you or encourage you. And I even know, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I even know for myself that I toe the line between being a people pleaser and then really truly just accepting that accountability for what it is. So when you allow people to come into your life to be accountable, right, you know, to, you can start living for that accountability, if you understand what I'm saying, where you, you know, hey, are you okay? Are you doing this? And then you're doing it for them versus really doing it for yourself. Issue that I know, and so I have to guard myself to make sure that I don't go across that line. I mean, you may not have that issue, and that's good, but again, you got to, you know yourself. So, you know, Joyce Meyer, I read a devotion. Now, she was talking about giving second chances, but this also encouraged me as well in terms of a solution to dealing with, you know, really resolving, healing, you know, the pain versus managing the pain. It says, the way to overcome the results of a series of bad choices is through a series of right choices. The only way to walk out of trouble is to do the opposite of whatever you did to get into trouble, one choice at a time. And that's, I think, the key. Again, I know for me, I like stuff done. I told you I'm a problem solver, right? Fix it, whatever. That's not life, okay? You know, you can't fix every problem just like that, especially if it didn't happen just like that. So you have to allow, like she just said, you didn't get into it, you know, right away. So you got to allow God to help you with the healing. And this is something very key with God's healing. Just like how in the, you know, let's say the real world, if you have surgery, right, there's recovery. I mean, literally there's recovery process in the hospital, but then there's a prescribed recovery when you get out of the hospital that you need to follow and adhere to. And if you don't adhere to it, what, you can go right back into the hospital, right? I know a lot of times, okay, you know, you have a baby, what do they say, 6 weeks. You know, you need to do this, be light, you know, work, you know, light lifting, you know, limited driving, all these kind of things, whatever. You have a cesarean, what, that's like 8 weeks. And again, you know, sometimes, you know, we think, well, man, you know, descended from slaves who popped out kids and just ran back, you know, into the field and did their work. Well, yes, they did, but maybe during this time, that might not be your way of having a good recovery, okay? So, you know, you got to listen. So even in this case, I say to myself, I said, you know, I need to give myself a break, right, to heal. But in the process, it may not happen as fast as I want it to, but it's still, that's my process. Your process may, hey, you may be up and at them, you know, to deal whatever your pain was and then for God to heal it. But for me, obviously, it's taking longer. I don't like it. it's taking me, I guess, longer to get to this point. Again, I don't like it. But what? Does it matter that it's taking me this long? No, because am I getting it? Yes, that's the issue. Did you get it? Are you getting it? So, and then I have to take that responsibility. I can't blame it on, oh, the rejection is causing me to do it. No, at some point, you have to say, well, this is what it is. But then now, because I know, I have to keep coming back to this. This is my desire and my hope that I can keep coming back to, okay, God's healing requires me to believe in his love and his affirmation for me, right, in this particular area. And what? I got to do something about it. Take daily action to remind myself. Just like I tell you with the show, I have to remind myself through his word about what he says about me and affirm myself until it becomes resonated so much within my spirit that I'm good, like, you know, so that when something else tries to come with the rejection, I'm not shaken like that. You know, my Rocky analogy, I'm not on down on one knee, Apollo Creed, and feeling like, oh, man, I'm so shook, I can't get back up. So, you know, with the shows, I try to give some kind of Bible comparison or reference or source. And when I thought about this, I thought about Saul. Now, you can go and read about Saul, who was chosen to be king of Israel in 1 Samuel 9, really to the 15th chapter. And do you realize that, you know, Saul, he had some rejection issues. And then you must say, well, how do you have the rejection issues? Well, he didn't believe in himself. So to me, that came from somewhere where he didn't feel that he looked good. You know, the Bible says that he was tall, came from a family that had wealth. So that's just what, you know, like he had privilege. But at some point, he didn't believe in himself, because why? When you read the story, Samuel came and to anoint him, he was just like, well, you're talking to me? You know, look at my family, and I don't know, and I'm this type of person. And, you know, Samuel's like, no, you are the king. You're going to be the king of the people. And there you go. But even when Samuel came to proclaim Saul to the rest of the people, he hid. Some translations said he hid in, like, baggage, hid underneath stuff. So, you see, he had some issues. And then even at that point when the proclamation was made, you read the different translations, some people said, Saul? Are you serious? Like, he ain't going to be able to do it. And Saul heard them, and they said that Saul paid them no mind, or he held his peace. But again, we talk about those words, right? Because you'll see later on, what does Saul do? Here he is, you know, anointed king, right? God, you know, does some mighty works through him. You know, the Spirit shows up through him to, you know, conquer and all that kind of stuff. And then God asks him to do certain things through the prophet Samuel. And what does Saul do? He doesn't do it completely. That's where you hear that obedience is better than sacrifice, right? He felt like, oh, well, I'm just going to do this. And then what was his explanation? Oh, well, I feared the people. And I listened to them. Back to that rejection issue, where if you were solid in who you were, you wouldn't listen to the rejection. So read this to look at the steps for healing from the pain, okay? Acknowledge the pain. Ask God for wisdom and discernment regarding the root cause. Make a decision to stop living with the pain. Find scriptures that speak against the pain, opposite of the pain, like, you know, find, you know, affirmation scriptures versus rejection, life scriptures versus death, and take daily action to believe God's words regarding your life and making decisions accordingly. So thank you so much for tuning in. You can stay connected through Facebook, Share My World Show, the Block Talk Radio show page, Twitter, on iTunes. You can subscribe to the podcast. And I just am so grateful that you stay tuned. So until our next episode, and we just again thank you, Lord, for your ministry tonight, Father. And I thank you for everybody tuning in, and I appreciate it. And until the next episode, I want you to stay tuned. I want to thank you for sharing my world. Now go and share your world with others. Have a blessed evening. Thank you.